The automobile transformed the 20th century, and autonomous vehicles have the potential to reshape the 21st. The promise of connected cars and autonomous driving will be the focus of this special four-part series as part of the Hogan Lovells Straight Talks podcast. Hogan Lovells is a global law firm with 2,800 attorneys and over 45 offices around the world. In this episode, we'll speak with Hogan Lovells partner Patrick Ayad from his office in Munich and senior counsel Lance Boltena from his office in Washington. The focus: the development of autonomous vehicle regulation around the world and what this means for the future of mobility. Regulations governing autonomous vehicles are gaining ground in the United States and globally, including Germany's move to legalize highly and fully automated vehicles last year. What are policymakers keeping top of mind? We'll start with Lance and then pivot to Patrick.
In the United States, policymakers are looking at autonomous vehicles sort of like the early days of the internet. They don't know exactly how this will transform and make our world better, but they're quite confident that it will, and they want it to happen, and they want it to happen here. And they want to give it the space to develop. And I hear policymakers talking about roughly five issues that they believe matter. The first one's obvious: safety. And another is cheaper transportation as a route to economic development for many, not just in the United States, but across the world. They see environmental benefits. They see infrastructure opportunities. True, there might be some infrastructure costs to facilitate autonomous vehicle adoption, but they also see that roadways will have a faster throughput, that cities might not have to be designed around the parked car. They're seeing a lot of opportunities. And finally, they see access to transportation for the young, for the aged, for the disabled, and they believe that that'll lead to a better society. And that basket of four or five things, there's a wide agreement on. And which one a policymaker puts forward might vary. Usually safety's at the top of the list. But all those other things get discussed too. And that's why in the U.S. there's a great desire to try and advance this technology.
I think the new law in Germany was an important sign for the industry. In fact, the German automotive industry was part of this initiative. As you know, Germany is leading, in a way, automotive, with the major players being in Germany, such as Daimler, BMW, Volkswagen, Audi, Bosch, and Continental, who were really pushing this new legislation. And not only that, they were also part of the deal and were at the table when the legislation was drafted. You would think that this law is wrongheaded in that it only covers highly and fully automated cars, but not autonomous cars. Well, there's a simple reason for that. Germany is one of the countries that signed up to the international laws that still require the presence of a driver behind the wheel. So, from a German perspective, these international laws will first have to be changed, and only then Germany can change their national laws. But as a first step, certainly the new law is important and an important sign for the German automotive industry. So this issue is not something that only Germany has. In fact, many of the countries in Europe are subject to these international laws, and they care about that. And this is maybe also a little bit of a difference between European countries and maybe the US. Germany is part of these international laws, but for example, the UK is not. So for the UK, it's much easier to work out for themselves what they think fits in order to allow autonomous cars on their streets. In fact, they are working on a law that would even include autonomous vehicles. And again, Germany has the problem that they first have to wait for changes on an international level. And as you can imagine, to change the laws on an international level is something that is quite burdensome, and it will not happen overnight. So we can also see a sort of competition between the countries in that who is the first to introduce autonomous vehicles regulations in the particular country. And the UK therefore also thinks that they are clearly leading the development of these laws because they are not bound by international laws.
I think that the United States is not worried about those international rules, although it's a signatory to some of them, because frankly, you can't drive a car across multiple nations as easily as you can in Europe. In Germany, you can go to many countries, all under the EU banner, all with the same currency. In the UK or the United States, it's just not the case. And so American policymakers are really trying to make sure that within the United States, that the states are all aligned with that one national goal. And it's easier to do that than to have an international agreement. And I think, truthfully, the United States sees a potential advantage here. Much of the new technology that's coming forward is based in Silicon Valley. Policymakers want to take an advantage of that. The U.S. is a large market. And so not only does is there a policy environment where people want to get those advantages discussed earlier, but they see in the realm of economic competition a chance to be first and to lead.
You've both written that regulators will want to look at how semi-autonomous cars handle the exchange between human drivers in the vehicle. How does this play out in regulations?
From a technical standpoint and a regulatory one, a mixed environment is harder than a pure environment. By that, I mean when you're confident in the technology of an autonomous vehicle and there's only machine-driven vehicles on the road, that's a less complex environment than one that has different types of vehicles. Some driven by humans, some with machine assist, and some completely machine driven. And the challenge is until you get to fully autonomous capacity, the better the system gets, the less attention the driver pays. And so there's a real challenge. How do you alert the driver, get them back into the driver environment so that they can make a competent decision as to how to handle the automotive context? And that's a very challenging issue. And so I think regulators are trying to figure out, as are all the automobile manufacturers and software developers, how do we alert the driver? How do we keep them engaged so that that time between being alerted and ability to take control is sufficient to get them into the environment? And finally, how do you avoid degradation in driver skill? Because the less drivers drive, the less adept they'll be at driving. And then we're pulling them into an environment where a lot of skill is needed because there's some confusion happening. So it's a really important and challenging question, and there really aren't strong answers right now.
To me, this is really the biggest challenge. I mean, you want a driver still be in a position to take control in case something happens, but at the same time, you want the driver maybe to do other things while he or she is driving or in the car. I actually don't think how this can work. And I also don't think that regulators really have thought about it in a proper way. So I have some sympathy to say, let's get rid of this interim step with partly or fully automated cars. Let's just go direct to fully autonomous vehicles, because that should make, at least for the regulators, the work much easier. I don't know how this will be solved from a regulatory perspective. I think the driver, even if we allow him or her to do other things, will always need to be in a position to take control immediately if something happens. So to me, highly and fully automated cars are not the solution in any case.
You've also noted that current rules are designed around crash survivability, but autonomous vehicles would operate in a crash avoidance framework. How is this being addressed?
The driverless car revolution is built around crash avoidance, and that's a very different enterprise. So not only will it mean different equipment in the vehicle, but a different way of looking at a crash. If the point is to have the vehicle avoid a crash, then we might not be as concerned about the structural issues if they become very, very good at not impacting with each other or the environment. And that intellectual shift is challenging and harder than it sounds. And it's why policymakers, I believe, in the United States are trying to step back and see how might these vehicles avoid collisions? What type of survivability environment do we have? As the driver and occupants might not be in a fixed location in the car, how do we handle airbags? and restraints and the structural cage of the vehicle for rollovers. All those questions are going to come back. And that means that decades of regulatory structure is going to all have to be reexamined. So it's a big job, not just in changing the rules, but changing one's thinking.
So in order for an autonomous vehicle to avoid a crash, that car will need a lot of data. This is why we also need to address data collection in our regulation. And in fact, if you look at the German law that was introduced last year, it addresses the point of a data box that collects all the data once you have highly and fully automated cars so that we can learn from the behavior of the car in critical situations so that we can improve these systems up to fully autonomous cars that would really avoid any crash if possible.
When it comes to something so technically complicated that also has great potential for societal impacts, how important is it for regulators and the private sector to work together?
It is definitely an area where everyone has to work together, and we need to engage in a discussion across various industries and also interested people here and people that are affected, of course. That is politicians, the drivers, the manufacturers, the suppliers, the safety experts, the technicians. All of them have to come together and discuss this topic. Otherwise, we will not solve it. And I would hope that also, you know, from a public policy perspective, that there is an awareness that without working together, we will not achieve anything. There is no way that industry just looks at the politicians and vice versa. They need to sit at one table together and solve the issue. And in fact, this is currently happening. And we are certainly thrilled as lawyers to be part of that development and even directly influence that development.
Yeah, I think that one of the exciting things is that policymakers are working with industry and vice versa, and that they're doing a fair bit of consultation. And if you look at the rules in the United States that the Department of Transportation has put out, they're really, across both the Obama and Trump administration, come talk with us. Tell us how you're trying to achieve a safer and better transportation environment, and we're going to try and get out of your way. So recently, Secretary Chao, the Secretary of Transportation, has been in essence saying, go forward, help us figure out this environment and help us get out of your way so that you can transform the world. And that's a very different outlook than having policymakers say, and these are the rules and you have to meet them, because that's a much more static environment. We're in a very, very dynamic environment. And I think that means for us as lawyers that we can't just say, this is what the rules are. And so for companies out there, if you come to your legal counsel and all they can tell you is what the rules are today, and they don't know your business, they don't know your industry, they don't know what the competitors and what the policymakers are doing around the world, you'll find someone who does.
As you look at the months and years ahead, is there one regulatory matter that you consider a linchpin?
Whenever you merge something, and in that case, it's the merger between the human driver and the machine driver, particularly in the next few years until we have fully autonomous ecosystems. So whenever you have a merger, you have disruption. And I think this will be the biggest challenge in the next few years. And it will be important that people still believe in autonomous vehicles despite these disruptions. So we will be going through hard times, I think, in order to solve and work out all of these issues. But eventually we will make it. But we have to be confident and have the trust in our technology and our laws to make it happen.
And what we've seen is that the existing players are really transforming themselves very quickly. So just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show, now also an automotive show. And there I was struck that we had the Secretary of the U.S. Transportation, CEOs of major automotive groups, and CEOs of tiny little companies developing all kinds of interesting technology, all saying the same thing. in the next 5, 6, 7 years, this industry will completely transform. And they were excited about it. So note the shift. 5 or 6 years ago, it was, will this industry shift? Now it's complete outlook and a very big transformation in a very short time.
Music for this podcast was created by Scott Holmes. For more information about autonomous vehicles or Hogan Levels, please visit HoganLevels.com.